He's one of our favorites. We want to get right to this. The divisional weekend is here. There's a lot to get to. NFL on Fox. Charles Davis is with us here on Willard and Dibbs on the River Islands guest line. Hey, Charles, how you been, man?
I've been great, and just so we get it, so none of us get sued, it's NFL on CBS.
And, oh, my gosh. You know what? I swear I think I did this to you last time you came
on. Yeah, you did.
Oh, my gosh. It's just like, I mean, we've been doing it for too long.
Yeah, we need to get that. We need to get that purged.
My bad.
Yeah, we should probably start the whole darn thing over.
Yeah, 3-2. Charles Davis, NFL on CBS, joining us here on 95.7.
Hey, we'll clean that up in the post-production,
Charles.
Yeah,
we sure will. Yeah. Charles, anyway, it's always great to have you, and I wanted to start with this. We wanted to get into all these teams, but how surprised are you that the 49ers are not playing this weekend?
I think all of us are surprised by the roster, what we expected out of them, all those things. But then when you go through a season like any NFL season and you can point to pick your year, there's always that team that you're just like, how are they not in the playoffs? And then you look back and go, well, this injury happened here. This thing happened here. That happened over here. It's an imperfect world, as we well know. And the 49ers caught a lot of imperfections along the way. Some, you know, for us on the outside, surprising losses at times, you know, Arizona kicking the field goal to beat them, among other things early. Different things like that kicked in, but this is what happens every year, because what is the number? A minimum of four teams every year take the place of playoff teams the year before, and there's always a surprise or two in there.
And I think that's actually right. 10 of the 14 from last year are in it again, and you know, one of the teams that is still in it is the team that ostensibly knocked them out, the LA Rams. What do you make of the Rams? They beat the Niners twice, including 12-6 and that weird one at Levi's, and yet they won their first playoff game on a neutral. What do you think about the Rams and their chances of keeping this thing going?
I think they're better than maybe what people are giving them credit for. I like the way that they got it together and finished their season. It's a strange one, because playing Philadelphia, both Philadelphia and the Rams had early open weeks. The Eagles had the earliest one possible, week 5. The Rams just followed suit in week 6. And both of them, after the open weeks, caught fire. Because the Eagles, from open week on, only lost once, that Washington game when Jalen Hurts got hurt in first quarter. And I think the Rams won 9 of their last 11, one of them being week 18 when they dressed at everyone, and the other one being when they got blasted by the Eagles
right
in week 12. So it's been a very interesting year for both of them. But when I focus on the Rams, two straight years, abysmal starts, two straight years, terrific finishes, two straight years getting into playoffs when you have no reason, no business getting in based on your early record. What Sean McVay does there is pretty darn good, pretty darn remarkable in a lot of ways. And it's hard to believe at times when you look back and reflect, guys, you remember three seasons ago, Sean McVay was going through all that angst about whether he was going to keep coaching. Should I be in? Should I be out? Remember, he went through back-to-back off seasons of, you know, almost going to that huge pit of self-reflection. What do I do? Do I take the $20 million from TV? What do I do? And now he's all in. You can tell. He's all in. He's locked in. He's happy coaching. Things are working well, and it's working real well for his franchise.
Charles Davis with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Charles, I think we all understand both sides of this, but I wonder how you unpack it. They're the Chiefs. They have home field, but I also feel like most of us don't really think that's the best team. So how do you sort of look at their chances?
I'm not surprised by that. We've seen this happen throughout this season. I mean, they're 15-2. And I think when you spew that at people, they're like, what? They're 15-2. Yeah, because it just didn't feel like
right.
it. But they are that franchise now that's very comfortable with close games, very comfortable with games in the balance, very comfortable with having to make plays down the stretch. Their core guys may be, you know, some of them showing a little age at times, because Kelce gets open, but he doesn't run away from you the way he used to, does he? Like, when he catches the ball now, it's not an automatic, here comes an additional 5, 6, 7 yards. You know, I think he ended up the season less than 9 yards a catch. You know, so it was very strange, but he still finds a way to get open. And does he find that magic in the playoffs again? Mahomes is certainly going to trust him. They're getting healthier at the right time. I think the thing that's still throwing me is it sounds like Joe Tooney's going to kick from guard to tackle to play in the playoffs. They trust him the most at left tackle. And I understand it. But I also remember when the Eagles lost Jason Peters before the Super Bowl, their playoffs before the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yep.
And there was talk about moving Lane Johnson from right to left. But if you did that, then you have to replace Lane Johnson at right. So they put Halapulavate Vaitai at left tackle, let him absorb some stuff down the stretch, work through the playoffs, and they made one move on the offensive line, and they found a way to win a Super Bowl. This is where Kansas City's making two moves. Tooney's going to go from left guard to left tackle, and now your backup, Mike Caliendo's coming in at left guard. Rather than leave Tooney at guard and make one move with a DJ Humphries who they picked up late or someone else. Now, having watched Wanya Morris play for the season, you're not going to let him play left tackle in the playoffs. You just can't. I mean, it just did not work for them. Humphries, they hope would work, but remember, he got hurt the first game he played, and I'm not sure he's totally healthy yet. So to me, that bears watching because Houston's defensive front is pretty darn good, and that's Danielle Hunter, and that's Will Anderson. Will be coming over that spot throughout the game. Let's see how that one plays out and how it goes. But to fully answer your question, until you knock them out, Kansas City's like, I don't care how you come at us. This game's tight. We're going to find a way. And you guys are going to have to prove that you can flat out beat us. Buffalo, you do it during the regular season, but you don't do it in the playoffs. Baltimore, you just haven't done it. Let's see if either one of you can get us if we get past Houston.
Fascinating to see, especially as we get now into year four of the one bye only era. And the teams that have had the bye are 4-2. And 2 years ago, they both lost. So as you look at the rest versus rust angle with the Chiefs and the Lions, where do you weigh in on, you know, which one might be more of a big factor for these two teams?
I think it's more of a factor for Kansas City because it's not just the open week. Hold on a second. Hey, really?
German Shepherd?
We have a long history on this show of when the dog introduces itself. We need to hear a little bit more about the dog.
But here's the kicker. Yeah. That was just one. That was just Nolan introducing himself.
Yeah.
Georgia and Trouble both decided to stay quiet. Nolan, nice. You know, he works on his own schedule. Anyway.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Bottom line, back to the open week for me is bigger for Kansas City. Let me tell you why. They finished that season with that 3-11. Remember, 3 games in 11 days, and that was grueling and the whole deal. But then week 18, they were locked into number one. So they didn't play anyone. So that week was an open week out of their main guys. Then you get the open week this week, and now you go play. Add up the number of days, because remember, their last game that they played was that Wednesday, which I believe was Christmas Day.
Yep.
So they got all that time off, which looks wonderful, but you start to wonder about the rust, right? Do you come out of it a little sluggish? Do these things happen for you? That's going to be interesting to watch. And I'm reminded of years ago when Pat Riley was coaching the Lakers. I think they blasted through their playoff series, you know, put everybody out, you know, 3 games, 4 games, whatever. And then they had like 10 days before the finals, and he took them out in the desert somewhere. And they actually scrimmaged like 3 times because he did not want them going into game one a little sluggish. Because you know what it's like, those games, like the other team comes off of a 7-game series. They're oiled up and ready to play. And who wins that game one? The team who appears to be tired.
Yep.
He doesn't want that. Let's see what happens with Kansas City. I think it's a bigger factor to me for KC than I believe it is for Detroit.
Charles Davis, CBS, with us, Willard and Dibs. Okay, Charles, I'll just ask it this way. You do whatever you want with it. Lamar or Josh?
And what's the premise of the whole thing? Who wins?
I mean, it can be.
Or who has the most pressure? Because the question I've been getting is who has the most pressure.
Right, but I don't know, man. It's a playoff game. They've all got pressure. I wonder, like, who do you think? Who do you think has a better shot in this game? And also, who do you think has a better chance to then do something with it after they win?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. It really is. First time I've been asked it this way. The pressure angle, to me, there's more on Lamar Jackson. 2-time MVP. I think he's about to be a 3-time MVP. but hasn't gotten to the NFC to the Super Bowl yet. Yep. Kind of paralleling Peyton Manning early years, won a bunch of games, get through it, but never quite got there. Then finally got over the hump. I feel like it's going to happen for him. Is it this year? We'll soon find out. But having the 1-2 punch with him and Derrick Henry in the backfield is a big, big addition for him. Josh Allen, on the flip side, he went into the season having lost, quote-unquote, the biggest weapon with Stephon Diggs. The team does not appear to have the same roster. There's a lot of, hey, the Jets could be it with Aaron, and here comes Miami. And they did it again because Josh, I feel like he emulated Mahomes the last 2 years. I'm going to put this team on my back, and you guys come along with me. And he's in the perfect sweet spot in his career. Veteran enough to have the savvy to do it, still young enough to have the legs to do it. And he did it. He did it in a big way. I think there's way more pressure on Lamar Jackson to get it done than there is on Josh Allen. I still think Josh Allen is still, oh, wow, that team, well, they actually did better than we expected. That's not what they're going to say about Baltimore. Not at all. Who has the ability to do more? I think both of them do. Because here's the deal. Baltimore finally broke through the Pittsburgh issue. Remember, Pittsburgh had beaten them 8 out of 9? And then they beat them in the second game of the regular season, beat them pretty handily, and blasted them in the playoffs. So that's gone. And they've been so close with Kansas City. This year it was what, a toenail of going for two and maybe beating them? I think they'd like their shot again. And we know Buffalo feels they know they can beat Kansas City. They've done it in the regular season. They just haven't done it in the playoffs. I think they both match up well with the ability to go on the road and play. But if you're asking me to pick one, I will pick Baltimore.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun game to watch on Sunday afternoon. I'm looking at Kansas City and Buffalo, Detroit and Philadelphia, and you've been to all these buildings for sure. Which one provides the toughest environment for a road team?
Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo.
And Philly.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah.
I'm gonna anger three fan bases in a big way. Buffalo combines everything because you're outdoors. That Bills Mafia is for real. You know, it's a heck of a thing. And by the way, they're going to kick off. It'll be single digits when they kick the thing off. Mm. So for this weekend, I'm going to go with Buffalo, and it's a long-suffering fan base is dying to get there.
Yep.
But, you know, when you flip it indoors and what Detroit has to offer and Big Dan Campbell and crew, it'll be wild. But I'm going to go with Buffalo as the toughest one out of the four left.
Charles, before we let you go, you got to help us. You're probably not going to be surprised by this. This whole city and metropolitan area is just kind of freaking out and having a daily debate over Brock Purdy, what to do, what's the right number, can we wrap our head around numbers that big? What is your view league-wide on Brock Purdy, what's about to happen, and what should happen?
Yeah, oh boy. My view on him is that I like him a lot. I'm on record as really liking him. I think that he is better than sometimes people want to give him credit for. People want to say, hey, he's got these receivers, he's got this thing, he's got that thing. I think that he has played himself into a position where he can go and have success at a place other than San Francisco. I don't think it's just, hey, Kyle has schemed him into everything. This has worked. This kid had to be around and be the better quarterback where Kyle kept turning his head and saying, this kid's been better than the other guys I've got. That means something to me, not just system-wide, okay? Kid's experience from college, all the things we're talking about. The issue you run into is, as you said, the right number. He's going to get bigger than probably the right number. It reminds me a little bit of Carson Wentz. Remember at the time, Wentz signed the deal, which was the biggest one, which is a little over 30, if I remember correctly. And there was a heavy debate on, is this really the right thing to do?
Yep.
I think that's kind of where we are. And you know what the flip side is, and Brock Purdy's people know it. Okay, tell us the alternative then, guys. What's your alternative? Who are you getting? Because this is not the 2024 draft of college quarterbacks, which out of the six, there wasn't a single bust. Think about that now. People can talk about Caleb Williams all you want. That was bigger than Caleb Williams. Okay, that was mass dysfunction of an organization. And by the way, he played through it better than he probably got credit for. Jaden Daniels, we know, was incredible. Drake May really came on with New England on a really bad football team. Bo Nix went to the playoffs and had a very nice rookie year, to put it mildly. J.J. McCarthy didn't get to play because of the knee injury. And when Michael Penix got to play, he was a little bit of a revelation in Atlanta, right? So when you talk about six like that, you're like, woo, these guys coming out this year may go high, but I don't know if they were rated ahead of the guys that came out last year. It's not the same class of players. Does that mean Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward won't be stars? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think people may be a little more cautious about their picks here, but some teams may have to go early and say, guess what? They're going to be our quarterback because this is the best that's coming out this year. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think they're good players. I just don't know that they would have been rated as highly as last year's class, if that makes any sense.
Sure does. Yep. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Hey, man, thank you so much. We love when you come on. Charles Davis of CBS.
Yeah.
With us here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you guys very much. And don't forget, one day we have to go back to my hometown and go on Halloween and see if they're still giving the full-size candy bars at Mr. Terry's house.
Oh, okay? Man.
No doubt.
Mark it down. Any year. Like, any kid knows.
Us?
Yeah. But do you know how far people will go when they find out a house has the full-size candy? Miles out of the way.
Well, I heard a rumor that when J.J. Watt was, you know, obviously I think he still got a place in Houston and all, heard that he did a great job on the Halloween candy, and they said the cops had to come because the line to try and get into his neighborhood.
Right?
Everyone was trying to find J.J.'s house and get the full-size bars.
All for something that you could walk over to the grocery store and get for like a dollar and a half.
Yeah, you can't get it from J.J. Watt.
No, you can't.
That's right.
and in New Paltz, New York, you can't get it from Mr. Thierry. So look, you gotta go. And by the way, if the three of us go, you know that we'll be immediately arrested, right? You know that.
Nothing weird than a bunch of 50-year-olds trick or treating.
I'm willing to take the chance. Charles,
hey, we'll try it one day. We'll try. You
let's
guys
do
be
it.
Good.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
There he goes, Charles Davis, CBS. He's one of our favorites.